Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one-coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5-quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
People that have woken up in bed with a stranger, what's your story? Story one, this reminds me of the guy who showed up on the couch in my college apartment and stayed for weeks. I had three roommates I wasn't really close with, and I basically only slept at the place, so I assumed the guy was a friend of one of the others. I'd stop in to eat or grab stuff, and there he'd be in his underwear, often playing video games that belonged to my roommates on the couch. About a week of this goes by, and one of my roommates finally approached me and asked how long my friend would be staying on the couch, and also if I could talk to him and request that he ask before playing the video games. I responded, "I don't know the guy. I thought he was your or Justin's friend." "Nope." We go to the fourth roommate and ask him, and he didn't know him either. So we all have a little conference to decide how to approach it. Since I didn't spend much time there, I said I didn't care how they handled it, but because I thought the whole situation was hilarious, and I respected the guy in a weird way, if it were totally up to me, I wouldn't say anything at all, just to see how it would end without our intervention. Would he stay? For how long? Would he slowly try to gain power? Anyway, I left it up to them and went about my way. A couple of days go by, and clearly no one has spoken to him because he's still there. Finally, a beautiful thing happened. I came home to find him playing video games with two of the roommates. They were interacting like old pals. This went on for about another week or two, the couch drifter getting along perfectly with my other roommates. Then one day he was just gone. No goodbyes, no drama, just gone. I think about that guy a lot. The nerve to just walk into an occupied apartment and take over the couch and TV. He must have slept on our couch for a good month or two. Story 2. Not me, but a neighbor was a member of a fraternity, and they all went downtown and got completely wasted. He doesn't remember how he got separated from his buddies, but woke up in a very soft bed, not knowing where he was. He saw a large, fluffy, flowered bathrobe on the back of the door and put it on. He heard some voices and walked toward them. He walked into the dining room, and there was an all-black family smiling in relief at him. My neighbor was a southern white guy. They were all eating breakfast, and the father pulled out a chair beside him and made him a heaping plate of scrambled eggs, grits, toast, and bacon. My neighbor had left the bar in a drunken state, come upon their car, and passed out in their back seat. Thankfully, everything ended up okay. He kept in touch with that family for a long time afterward. Story 3. I used to date this really awful guy. We lived together for 5 years, and in that time, some pretty disturbing things happened. But this one makes the top 5. It was a Sunday night, around 2 a.m. I was asleep in bed when I was woken by that feeling of someone staring at me. Assuming it was my then boyfriend, I told him I was trying to sleep and didn't want to be bothered. Then I heard a laugh I'd never heard before. I jumped out of bed, and there was this guy sitting on the edge of my bed, laughing his head off. I asked who he was, and he said, "I'm Andrew, boyfriend's buddy." Then he told me how my ex had said I was uptight and would be mad if he came in our bed. But he didn't believe him because my ex was so cool. Why would he date a boring girl? Then he asked if I wanted some drugs. I walked out and told my ex to get rid of him and let me sleep since I had work in the morning. His reply, "Well, now that you're up, can you take us to McDonald's?" Story 4. This has happened to me multiple times because I black out really easily. But the craziest time goes like this. I was 21, male, and had just gotten into a fight with my girlfriend in front of her whole family at their Christmas party. We were both drunk and broke up for the fourth and final time that week. I stormed out without my house keys, wallet, or phone. I had drunk an entire bottle by myself at that point. I walked to the local bar about 2 miles away and realized I didn't have any money. But I did remember my cigarettes, which I used to trade for more drinks. The next morning, I woke up naked in bed with a couple twice my age, over 40 miles away from my apartment. They said, "Nothing happened. You just cried a lot and said you didn't have a place to go, so we took you in and cuddled." The boyfriend drove me to work, and I moved out of state the next week. Story 5. I was in college staying near campus and decided to go to a frat party. I decided to walk home before the liquor kicked in too much. By the time I got home, I was blacking out. I barely made it, got to my bed and passed out. Didn't even take my shoes off, lol. I woke up off and on throughout the night feeling someone next to me. I figured it was a girl I had been dating. She'd come over if she got scared at night or something and would sleep at my place. I never thought much of it. She cuddled me that night, and it felt amazing. Guys love being the little spoon sometimes. The sun woke me up, and I decided to go pee. I remember having to step over her to get out of the bed, losing my balance because I was still drunk. I go pee, come back, and notice this is not the girl I'm dating. Also, she's in a bra and underwear. I panicked. I then noticed I only had boxers on. Don't remember getting undressed. My clothes were folded on my computer chair next to a half-eaten grilled cheese. I immediately went to my roommate's room to ask who she was. He was in bed with his girlfriend. I woke him up, and he said the girl claimed she knew me. I was afraid. I waited in the living area until she woke up. Apparently, she didn't have a ride home. And since she lived far, I drunkenly offered her a place to crash. She helped me walk home, unlocked the door for me because I was out of it, undressed me, and folded my clothes. Then she made me grilled cheese because I was drunkenly begging for one. I ate half of it and laid down. Initially, she was on the couch, but she said I was calling to her loudly like a banshee, lol. She cuddled me until I fell asleep. Then she fell asleep too. I was embarrassed and thankful. She took care of me. I took her home, and we laughed about it. We stayed friends for a long time, hung out more than a few times. We were never more than friends because I was already dating someone. Sometimes I wonder if she was the one for me. I don't know how we lost touch. I don't even like grilled cheese. Story 6. I've done that a lot. Most recently, just a couple of days ago. I tend to ask why we're naked and where my clothes are. My wife says I'll discreetly reach around for my sidearm, despite not having carried a work-related sidearm for years. It usually feels pretty cool, like, oh, I'm in bed with an attractive person. That's got to be good. There's also often a little concern that I'm naked and in bed where that might not be appropriate. This is all caused by post-ictal amnesia, temporary memory loss after a seizure. I did have this happen a long time back, in the way I guess the original poster meant. After a party, I woke up with a very small, very effeminate, very good-looking man in bed with me. I'm straight, which made it even more unexpected. I remembered seeing him the night before, but we hadn't spoken. I was live in security for the party host and had to get up to take care of a couple of things, so I quietly crept out. When I returned, he was still snoring away. So I sat at my desk and read. When he woke up, he explained that after the party had wound down and just a few people were awake talking, one of the other guests started becoming verbally hostile to him, saying hateful things, making threats, and so on. Everyone else was asleep, and he was afraid to leave but didn't feel safe anywhere else. I had my own room, and he knew I was straight but not prejudiced. My employer, your host, was openly gay, so he knew he'd be safe with me. He tried to wake me up but said I just mumbled and went back to sleep. I was pretty upset that he'd been harassed and embarrassed I hadn't awoken. I reassured him that it was okay and brought him with me to staff breakfast. The other staff giggled and whispered, thinking we'd hooked up, and I didn't deny it, because how could I, without making him feel undesirable? I treated him like royalty, brought him food and coffee, introduced him to the staff as a trusted friend, then let him pick which of my boss's cars to get driven home in by the driver. He chose the Porsche. The guy who hassled him was pulled into a private room by a couple of us at the next party and was warned that if he ever made that guest uncomfortable again, we'd make sure he regretted it. Then he was escorted off the property and told never to return. I felt honored that the guest had trusted me, and I admit it gave my ego a boost that people thought I'd hooked up with him. He was a very classy, attractive man, way out of my league, like a small Pierce Brosnan. Story 7. After my father's death, his sisters asked my family to spend a summer weekend with them at a beach resort town. It ended up being the vacation from hell for many reasons. But this is the part that fits the prompt. The aunts didn't tell us they were bringing their extended family. So we had 13 people crammed into a one-bedroom condo. Most of us slept on the living room floor, which was also the dining room and kitchen. On Saturday night, my teenage cousin stayed out late while the rest of us returned to the condo and went to sleep. The next morning, we woke up to find a 14th person in the condo, a guy in his late teens to early 20s. My teen cousin explained that she'd met him while partying, and he didn't have a place to stay, so she let him crash with us. She let a complete stranger into the room where her grandmother, mother, sister, aunts, and cousins, two of whom were children, were sleeping. Her side of the family shrugged it off, but my side was absolutely livid. We've never spent a vacation with them again. Story 8. My family owns a big farm in Queensland, Australia, and it's mostly just untouched bushland, but we lease the area out to a cattle producer. Since we have breeding land, we have a lot of calves every couple of years, and there's a feral dog population that hangs around trying to pick off the calves. So I go around every few weeks or so and do a several-day hunting trip just walking around. It was the middle of a drought, so I couldn't light a fire, and I just slept in a sleeping bag under a tree in an area I knew pretty well. It was a randomly cold night in summer, so I was happy to get bundled up. I woke up in the morning with my left leg feeling really tight, and I tried to shimmy my pants down in the sleeping bag because I thought they were just tangled up a bit. I felt something odd, so I unzipped the sleeping bag, and there was a red-bellied black snake wrapped around my leg, having a good snooze. I was so dead tired, I wasn't even freaking out. I just tapped it awake and said, "Hey, mate, can you leave?" And it released my leg and just wandered off. I should have been way more scared at the time, but I was destroyed from the day before. Story 9. I took a year off from school and was working in Shanghai. I went through a bad period, and for about 2 weeks, I was waking up in a different apartment with a different girl each night. We went to karaoke one night with a big group, and it just snowballed from there. I only remember flashes, like riding in a taxi with a girl and then going into her place. No idea what her name was or who she was. I remember stumbling alone on the street to the subway at around 1 a.m., trying to beat it before it closed, and failing. No idea how I got home that night. Honestly, it was incredibly eye-opening afterward, and I realized how dangerous it was. I still don't remember a lot of that time frame, and I'm not sure I was sober for more than a minute during it. Since then, I completely stopped drinking and got my life together. I don't recommend anyone do things like that, but it really helped me turn my life around. I have a good career and family now, but I always worry about falling back down that hole. Story 10. I was going through a pretty nasty divorce. Last thing I recall, I was drinking heavily with a buddy of mine. I have some vague recollections of going outside the bar and some woman basically grabbing me and dragging me into a cab. I came to completely undressed, and it was obvious we had been intimate earlier that night. She was next to me wanting round two. It kind of crossed my mind that if the genders were reversed, this would absolutely be seen as non-consensual. But I was still intoxicated and just went with it. Then tried to find my clothes, some of which had been shredded when she pulled them off. I called a cab. She told me she was married and hadn't had anything like that in years. I felt awful. I went outside, jumped in the cab, and found out where I was. A solid hour plus, over $100 fare from my house. I told the cab driver what had happened, and he laughed the entire ride, joking the whole way. I was so drunk it wasn't until I got home that I realized I didn't have my coat, and with it, my house keys. I figured if it was at the lady's house, I was just going to get a new coat and keys. I grabbed the spare and let myself in. My soon-to-be ex-wife had already moved out. Went back to the bar the next day, found my coat and keys, and closed my tab. Got tested a few weeks later and spent the next few months hoping I hadn't told her where I lived and that her husband wouldn't show up at my door. All in all, I would not recommend that experience. It convinced me that self-medicating with alcohol wasn't the way to get through rough times. I needed to get my life in order. Story 11. I'm 18, and I head to a rave in the city with some people I don't know that well, but they're good guys. My tolerance for alcohol and substances was pretty low, and the drinks were extremely cheap, so I ended up getting heavily intoxicated early on. This is the only time in my life where I've blacked out. I vaguely remember getting on a bus, ending up at the end of the route, and then somehow being home. No clue how I got there safely. After a couple of hours of sleep, I woke up needing to use the bathroom. Pretty normal. Something felt off, though. I looked to my left and saw a woman sleeping beside me. It was dark, but I could tell she was older than me. which only made things more confusing. My mind raced with questions. Did I actually bring someone home while blacked out? Was I hallucinating from the substances? I had no idea. I lay back down, too nervous to wake her up and ask. What felt like hours passed until my older brother popped his head into my bedroom, saw the woman, and asked who she was. I told him I had no idea. He chuckled to himself and explained the situation. She had come over to stay the night with him, got up to use the bathroom in the middle of the night, mistakenly walked into my room, and fell back asleep. My door and my brother's are right next to each other. Easy mistake. He woke her up, covered her, and they left the room. She was incredibly embarrassed and never came over again. I decided to drink more responsibly to avoid any more spooky blackouts. Story 12. When I was around 10, I was on a flight from the mainland U.S. to Hawaii, on my way back to my military family home after visiting some relatives. My mother and her husband had ended their vacation earlier than me, so I could spend more time with my father and grandmother. So at that point, I was flying unattended. Airport staff and flight attendants were keeping watch over me, obviously. It was the middle of the several-hour-long flight, probably way after midnight, and I woke up in the dark airplane, needing to use the restroom. So I got out of my aisle seat, went to the lavatory, did my business, and went back into the cabin, and promptly passed out in a seat. I was awoken probably not long after by a flight attendant and a disgruntled passenger who'd lost their seat to a disoriented 10-year-old. I guess I had just picked a random aisle seat and passed out. I was so young, and it was so long ago, that it hardly matters now. But it was thoroughly embarrassing at the time. Story 13. I went out to a bar with a coworker named Richie. We weren't really friends. After Richie was making out with a girl for a while, he suggested I kiss her too. So I did, and she was into it. We brought her back to my apartment, and Richie broke out 2 pills of Molly that he said he'd cut up for us to take. Meanwhile, the girl went to the bathroom and immediately started throwing up. I went in to check on her and help her out. When I came back out, I saw Richie had cut his arm with a razor blade from wrist to elbow about 15 times, thankfully not deep. He held it up with blood dripping on the coffee table and said, "Isn't it beautiful?" I said, "No, Richie, it's not beautiful. It's really concerning. You have to leave." I gave him a towel for the blood and sent him on his way. Back in the bathroom, the girl was passed out on the floor. I lifted her up, put her in the bed, and went to sleep next to her. Around 4 a.m., I felt a warm, wet spot. She had wet the bed. The next morning, we woke up, and I drove her home. No numbers exchanged, nothing. Then I came back to the apartment to clean up the blood, vomit, and everything else. It was memorable, unfortunately. Story 14. The night before I graduated college, I was doing a case race with my roommates, girlfriend, and some friends. My girlfriend and I turned in pretty early, for that night anyway, around 3:30 a.m. We didn't finish the case, but came pretty close, so we were definitely intoxicated. Anyway, we hooked up in my bed and fell asleep. A couple hours later, I woke up naked and spooning someone who was also naked. My arm was draped over her chest. This was not my girlfriend. Alarm bells went off immediately. My girlfriend was spooned behind me, and the strange girl, a friend of a friend, was in front of me. All three of us were naked. It felt like a no-win situation. My girlfriend was definitely not the type who would be okay with something like that, but apparently the other girl was. And besides, I know I would have remembered something like that if it had actually happened. So how did I respond to the situation? First, I found my underwear. Then I got out of bed and went to my roommate Nick's bed and slept at the foot of it. I really didn't want to catch any heat for what had just happened. The other girl was a little embarrassed, I think. She must have snuck out as soon as she woke up. My girlfriend somehow knew what happened, but she couldn't really be mad. I was blameless. I graduated and never saw the other girl again. Still Facebook friends, though. Story 15. Oh, man, it's happened an embarrassing amount of times. Waking up after a night of drinking, and my brain starts a reboot cycle that usually goes something like this. Oh, huh, I'm conscious. Wait, where am I? I appear to be undressed, and there is someone else here. I'm cold. Whoever this person is, they are definitely a blanket hog. Okay, now I'm more conscious and starting to realize I'm very uncomfortable. I need water, some more sleep, and maybe a little prayer. Time to find my stuff. Super relieved that drunk me stuffed my wallet, glasses, and phone into one of my boots. Underwear is missing, going to write that off as a loss. I stumble around the apartment looking for the bathroom while attempting to avoid any roommates. I order a rideshare as I sneak out the front door. I try piecing my night together on the ride home. Scratch my face at some point. Wait, what is that? Yep, that's definitely been somewhere. Smell again, because I'm a degenerate. The sun's coming up now. Wish it would go away. All I want to do is brush my teeth, get home, drink an outrageous amount of water, take a shower, and spend the rest of the day in bed thinking about my life choices. Eat an edible before bed, have a small existential crisis, rinse, repeat. Story 16. I was working out west in the oil field. We lived at a man camp with about 10 or so identical mobile homes side by side. One Saturday night, the entire man camp got together for a jungle juice party, and literally every type of alcohol you could think of was dumped into this massive punch bowl. Mentally, the night ended quickly for me, but physically, I stayed up for several hours. I knew I wouldn't be able to make the 50-yard walk back to my trailer, so I decided to sleep in the front room of the trailer where the fire was. I figured my buddy wouldn't mind, as he was out of state snowmobiling. There was only one issue. He had moved to another friend's trailer in our camp just a few nights before. We moved around often if we got sick of each other, etc. I woke up unclothed in a giant bed with the 18-year-old son of another guy from the camp sleeping at the other end. He was probably only 100 pounds, so my drunk self must have thought he was a pillow. He basically threatened to kick me out on the spot. By the time I caught my bearings, the stories had already started making their rounds. Apparently, I had been streaking, including through our laundromat, caught on camera and everything. My boss, who also happened to be a buddy from back home, told me that if he didn't fire me, they were going to press charges. Made for a long 22-hour ride home. That was several years ago, and now everyone's moved back home. It's become a popular joke at parties. Story 17. I got really drunk in Flagstaff, Arizona, with some people I met on a dating app who ended up ditching me. Last thing I remember is being super intoxicated and in and out of blacking out while asking people for a ride back to my house in Cottonwood, about 45 minutes away. I don't recall ever getting a ride from anyone, but I woke up in Cornville, half an hour from Flagstaff, about 15 minutes from my house, on a random bed in a trailer. The person wasn't in bed with me. He was asleep on the hard linoleum floor. All my things were neatly set up next to me. My purse was there, with everything in it. My phone was plugged in for me, and I was completely unharmed. Being a small and vulnerable girl, I really wanted to wake him up and thank him, but he wouldn't budge at all. I ended up writing a note with my phone number in case he wanted me to send him a thank you gift or something, and then I started walking. Luckily, a post on social media brought my friends out to rescue me, and I didn't have to walk the whole way. Honestly, I probably would have passed out or gotten dehydrated along the Arizona highway. But all's well that ends well. I stopped drinking after that because I realized how incredibly lucky I got, and I just don't think I'd get that lucky again if I kept blacking out like that. I waited for my mystery savior to text or reach out, but he never did. Story 18. It was 1980. I went to a bar with friends and let a guy buy me a drink around 9 p.m. The next thing my 90-pound self knew, I was in a complete stranger's bed. It was 8 a.m. I was 18. It was 10 years before I even learned about date rape drugs. He said I had partied and gone along with all of it. Naive me assumed that was what had happened. I was bleeding from both my vagina and rectum. He took me home to where I was living with my sister for a summer job in Nashville. I was from a tiny town in Indiana. He dropped me about half a block down. Later, I realized he didn't want anyone to get a look at him or his car. I was still so fuzzy. I had been meant to spend the night with a girlfriend, so my sister hadn't worried, and she was at work. I worked afternoons in a restaurant. My friends were my coworkers, and they reinforced the idea that I had gone off willingly with this guy. They jokingly called me a slut. That part always bothered me more than the assault. It was years before I knew it was assault. But I knew I wasn't a slut. I had a boyfriend back in Indiana. I knew I would never have consented to what happened. If you're old enough, you know that wasn't something people even talked about 40 years ago. I got checked at Planned Parenthood for STDs and was clean, thank God. The doctor did ask me some hard questions, but I said I got drunk and went home with some guy. I will always wonder why she didn't mention the possibility of drugs. That person didn't just violate my body, he damaged my heart and spirit. Although I eventually recovered with therapy and am somewhat fortunate to have almost no memory of the assault, I still hope there's a place where people like him face justice, whatever form that takes. Story 19. I was staying in Cusco, Peru, and didn't take any oxygen supplement to help me adjust to the high altitude. Other than a bit of shortness of breath, I didn't have any issues, which was surprising since I both smoked and drank pretty heavily at the time, until I tried to sleep. I think falling asleep slowed my breathing and started depriving me of oxygen, which caused my brain to panic hard. I was having incredibly intense nightmares, one after another, and I couldn't wake up into reality. It was terrifying. At the time, I was staying in a 16-person hostel room, so I guess my distress was pretty audible, and people started to get nervous. I remember waking up at one point with a girl holding my head and running her hands through my hair, and all I could ask was, "Am I still dreaming?" She laughed and gave me some water and fell asleep holding me. She also gave me some oxygen from a small tank, which helped a lot. When I woke up in the morning, she was gone. But waking up out of that seemingly endless nightmare and seeing her face and feeling her hand on my head, it felt like looking up at an angel. Story 20. In college, I woke up on a couch in a house I'd never seen before. I looked down and saw a hospital bracelet on my wrist and blood all over my shirt. I walked to a mirror and saw cuts all over my face. There wasn't a single person in the house, except for a total stranger sleeping in a room upstairs. I called the friend I had been partying with the night before. Turns out I had jumped on his bicycle the night before without knowing it was a fixed gear bike. No handbrakes. Having never ridden a fixie, I crashed badly. I separated my shoulder and got a severe concussion. I spent the entire night in the hospital with my friend. He said my brain just kept resetting every 60 seconds or so, like in that movie Memento. We apparently had the same conversation literally 50 to 100 times. I still have no recollection of ever being in the hospital. The next morning, my buddy had to go to work and was worried about leaving me alone at his place, so he dropped me off at his next-door neighbor's house to keep an eye on me, hence the strange couch and the unfamiliar person sleeping upstairs. Funny side note, I was supposed to work a delivery shift at Pizza Hut that afternoon. I later found out I called my manager 3 times in a 10-minute span and had the exact same conversation each time. He didn't have the heart to tell me I'd already called. He also said that if I was making it up, it was the most brilliant and convincing excuse to get out of a shift he'd ever heard. So I deserved the day off either way. Story 21. I was a witness, but technically this happened to my boyfriend. My boyfriend and I were at my house home from college. We went out, got plastered, and passed out in my bed. In the middle of the night, I hear my parents laughing hysterically. Turns out my boyfriend got up to use the bathroom, walked into their room instead, and nestled between my parents. He was only in his boxers, and both of my parents sleep completely undressed. My dad wakes up and realizes something is off. He tries to wake my boyfriend up, but he's completely out, and my dad can't stop laughing. Finally, I hear the commotion and retrieve my boyfriend. The next morning, when he walks into the kitchen for breakfast, my parents start laughing all over again. He had no recollection of any of it. The best part of this story is that my mom was undergoing chemotherapy and radiation at the time. She was a shell of who she once was. We hadn't heard her laugh in months. My dad and I were so happy to see her laughing that we just laughed even harder. My dad thanked my boyfriend the next morning for making her laugh. She recovered, and we still joke about that moment to this day. Story 22. I was 17 on my senior trip that included students from 4 other schools. The trip was very much not a school-organized one, but a group trip with 17 to 18-year-olds and a single chaperone per school. For many people, it was way more freedom than they were used to. I was rooming with 3 not-so-socially-adept girls who didn't understand boundaries. On night 3, they decided to go to an 18-plus club despite not having the right outfits, and went anyway. They got denied entry because they didn't look the part, so they let an older stranger buy them alcohol. Then they ran into some guys from another school who wanted to drink with them. Meanwhile, I stayed in the room and treated myself to a spa night because I knew they'd be gone. I went to bed around midnight, having no clue what they did afterward. Around 5:30 a.m., I registered that I was being snuggled, and at first I wasn't even mad. But then I felt a movement against me and remembered I was just wearing a shirt, and I definitely didn't invite anyone into bed. I jumped up, and there was a guy from one of the other schools I didn't even know. He wasn't unattractive, and I wasn't necessarily opposed to something under other circumstances, but I was seriously annoyed at the situation. I kicked all the kids out.
Hey, I'm Dr. Z, and I'm a neurosurgeon. So that means long hours, early rounds, late nights, and everything in between. And through it all, I wear FIGS. Because they're built for what I do. Through the chaos, through the hours, and through whatever the day throws at me, they do their job so I can do mine. They're comfortable when it counts and functional when I need them the most. So where do you wear your FIGS? On shift, on call, on the couch in the break room listening to this podcast, wherever it is, they fit right in. And now listeners of this podcast can get 15% off their first order. Just head to wearfigs.com and use code FIGSRX at checkout. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.
Out and sent them back to their rooms. By then, breakfast was already being served in the lobby. I got a little petty, got ready at 6 a.m. and turned the heat up to 90 degrees. They had the AC at 70. I left the room, ate breakfast, and got on the first shuttle to the theme park, even though we were supposed to leave with our roommates. I ended up hooking up with the guy who was in my bed a few times later that day, just because I could. Story 23. I was at a club mixing drinks pretty hard. It was a bit of a dive, so I used to black out almost every time we went there. I woke up with zero memory of the girl I was with. My phone had 2% battery, so I checked my notes. I used to save notes when I got past the point of no return. Sometimes they helped me piece things together, sometimes they made me laugh, and sometimes they were just complete nonsense. Mostly the latter. This time, there was a note of a conversation between the girl and me where we had shared our names. It must have been loud in the club, and joked about the band The Darkness, apparently playing at the time, and the fact we were wearing similar t-shirts. When the girl woke up, she started making some jokes I wasn't getting, clearly something from the night before. She asked if I remembered our night and if I even knew her name. I confidently said the name from my note, but it was the wrong girl. Of course it was. She kicked me out pretty quickly after that. Later, I found the other girl's number saved in my phone. We hung out a few times casually after and ended up becoming good friends, so it worked out in the end. Bonus, not a stranger, but once while on holiday in a hostel in LA, I woke up extremely warm. I rolled over and felt a sticky body. My friend had climbed over me to get inside the bed between me and the wall. I gave him a quick shake and said, "Oi, get out of my bed!" And he refused, so I tossed him over my body onto the floor. As he stood up, I could see a horrifying silhouette in the moonlight, completely undressed. Just why? Story 24. It happened to me a few times, but the best one was probably this. The girl wasn't exactly a stranger. I had met her through a mutual friend the morning before in the university cafeteria. I was eating breakfast and immediately told her I was sorry for eyeing her food so hard, but it looked like a way better choice than mine. She laughed and said she wasn't eyeing any food. The next night I went out clubbing, blacked out, and woke up at her place, undressed with my underwear on the floor beside the bed, ripped in half. Her pit bull was sleeping with its face in my lap, lying between my legs. Her cat was on my chest, practically on my face. She was sleeping on my arm. We went out for breakfast and became great friends. We only ever hooked up one more time, years later, after my friend cheated on her and she wanted to get back at him. She's now married to a really great guy and has a few kids. My favorite story of someone waking up somewhere random was about my university roommate. He woke up in the beer cooler at a strip club wearing only his underwear, walked out of the place, set off all the alarms, totally confused, took a cab back to our place and didn't pay the driver, passed out again. We went to the strip club again that night, and when they asked for his ID, he said, "Funny story, my ID is inside." They immediately called the cops and arrested him for breaking in. He told the police what happened and said it was actually their negligence for letting him fall asleep in a fridge. Charges were dropped immediately. The cops thought it was hilarious. Story 25. I've posted once, but I just remembered another one. I was a really bad alcoholic. And while it's not waking up in bed with a stranger, it's funnier. So I hope it's okay to post again, even if it's slightly off topic. I was at my buddy's place after a bar shift, so this started around 3:30 a.m. I smoked a ton and drank like a fish. Then we played cards for a few hours. Everyone eventually passed out. I was on his couch when I woke up and, for some reason, thought it was a good idea to take a bath. Yes, a bath at my buddy's place, who cooked at my bar. He was not a clean individual, also an alcoholic, one of my fry cooks. Anyway, I get into this hot bath, feel great, and then pass out. At some point, his roommate came in to use the bathroom and turned off the light, with me still in the tub, totally unconscious. He lived in an underground apartment, and what little light that might have come in was shut out by blackout curtains. If you live that kind of life, you meet a lot of people who have them, especially if they drink. I woke up hours later in pitch darkness, like can't see your hand level of dark, and the water was freezing. I swear I thought I was in a Saw movie. It was terrifying, but also absolutely hilarious. I shouted help at the top of my lungs, and my buddy burst in, totally startled. He saw me and said, "What in the world are you doing? Why are you in my bathtub? That's disgusting, bro." Even he knew it was no place to take a bath. For a moment, I honestly thought someone had taken one of my kidneys. Story 26. I was at a festival called Woogie Weekend. I had camped alone next to my friend's art car. I'm a 5'7", 120 pounds, a slight woman. This will make sense soon. It was raining pretty hard on the last day. We fondly call that year Lake Woogie, and got so bad that a lot of people were without dry bedding or clothing. Vendors were either discounting or giving away dry clothes. Since my tent was by an art car on an incline near a ravine, my camp avoided the worst of the flooding. Exhausted, we all retired early and huddled in for the night. I woke up to a completely unclothed man cuddled next to me on my cot at 7:30 a.m. I didn't scream. I was just shocked. I did a quick mental check to see if I had partied. I had done acid every night, except the one it rained. But I hadn't hooked up with him. I looked at his face and realized I had never seen him in my life. I figured he must have gotten lost and was seeking shelter from the cold rain. What didn't make sense was that he was totally unclothed. He was lying on top of my sleeping bag but had covered himself with some of my clothing. He was wearing a jacket of mine with both arms in, though it was too small to cover him. He had laid some t-shirts over himself that I had in my suitcase. He was wearing my fuzzy duck socks, no pants, just completely bare otherwise. I calmed down, slowly got up, and covered him. When I looked outside, my tent had literal mist around it and water underneath it. People were trying to start their cars, but we were stuck. The man sat up, wide-eyed, saw I wasn't about to freak out, and started laughing. I pointed to my socks, and we both burst out laughing. He explained that he had gotten lost trying to reach another camp to help friends pack up. We'd lost power at the main stage and restroom areas, and his headlamp died. He stripped off his wet clothes because he was shaking and afraid of hypothermia. He shouted into several tents but got no response. Most of us wore earplugs. Finally, he stumbled into my tent and collapsed. He said he could sense I'd be understanding in the morning. We got him some coffee and dry clothes. A friend who had access to a medical cart helped get him back to his camp. Turns out he'd overshot it by 15 minutes in the wrong direction. He was extremely lucky to stumble into my tent. There are coyotes out there. We still chat occasionally on Instagram. He still has my duck socks. If you're reading this, Derek, I'm so glad you made it. Something was definitely looking out for you that night. Story 27. Well, this is probably too late for anyone to really see it, and there's a technicality thrown in there. But I love this story and have pictures if anyone is interested. Anyway, it had to be move-in weekend of college. It feels farther in, but that weekend was spent partying, so it stretched over a whole week. Or at least felt like it. I didn't have a roommate. No, it's not going where you think it's going. So I was able to wake up whenever I wanted, which was usually around 4 p.m. to prepare for more partying. So there's this one night where I straight up passed out when I got back to my room. Mind you, I was actually being good and didn't drink. I was just exhausted. I woke up at 4, but not p.m. this time, a.m. I'm basically blind without my glasses, and it was dark. But I could see someone right next to me rummaging through something beside my bed. I figured, okay, I guess this is my new roommate that nobody told me was moving in. He looked at me, said sup, and I just kind of tried to go back to sleep, wondering what was going on. I woke up again around 11, which was still too early for me, but now I could see a guy sleeping in the lofted bed across from mine, above my TV. He was wearing my shorts. Turns out what he was digging through earlier that morning was my hamper of dirty clothes. Eventually, he woke up, did that slow Undertaker sit-up move, looked at me and said, "How did I get in here?" I was wondering the same thing, dude. I had no idea who he was, just that he somehow got through my locked door, and presumably several others on the floor, to get into my dorm. He hopped off the bed and zombie walked out of the room and down the hall. About 10 minutes later, he came back, handed me my shorts, and asked if they were mine. Yeah, they were. I didn't see him again for about a month. Turns out, he lived at the opposite end of the hall and had wandered out of his room. His roommate had been looking for him all night. Also, I had actually met him before, though I didn't realize it at the time. But that's a story for another day because this post is already way too long. Story 28. She started watching a certain news channel and got really into social media as a source of information. One morning, she said we shouldn't vaccinate kids. We got into a big fight, and when I woke up next to her the next day, I looked around the house and realized we had healing oils, healing candles, healing bracelets. And I took a hard look at our life and realized she had become a stranger to me. Our values had changed. I leaned toward planning ahead, insurance, health care, retirement savings, trying to do the adult thing right. She turned inward, trying to reclaim a sense of importance she hadn't earned in the real world. I woke up with someone I didn't recognize anymore. I'd say it was a combination of tribalism, ego, and time. She had gone from being a big personality in high school to struggling as an adult, and she wanted to feel powerful, important, and like an expert, without putting in the work to get there. Thankfully, she didn't fall into deeper conspiracies, at least not while we were together. Who knows what happened afterward? We never had kids, thankfully, so when it was over, it was a clean break. Story 29. I used to go to a boarding school with over 200 girls and a total of 4 guys spread over 4 classes, from new students to seniors. Every now and then, since none of the girls were local, local guys would come over to the dorms and hang out or spend the night with the girls. I was always up late watching TV, and the guys, once they were done hanging out with the girls, would come sit with me in the living room. Sometimes we'd chat, sometimes it was just a nod. For context, I'm 6'6", heavily built, and considered fairly good-looking. One of the girls brought home a really good-looking guy. Blonde, tan, just a cool vibe. He and I ended up talking for hours in the living room after he had finished spending time with one of the girls. We talked for so long that he eventually fell asleep on my chest. When I decided to go to bed, I asked him, "Can I get up?" And he just hugged me, not in a weird way, more like a comforting one. So I picked him up, went to bed, and laid down with him between me and the wall. Well, when I opened my eyes in the morning, he woke up too. He quietly got out of bed and left the room. He wasn't that intoxicated, so I think he knew nothing had happened. But we had definitely cuddled. It never happened again with someone coming to my room, but now and then people would fall asleep next to me in the living room. I never saw that guy again, which is a shame. He was a great cuddler. Story 30. Not me, but my wife. Back when we were dating. It's a bit lengthy, so bear with me. During her sophomore year of college, she and 2 roommates needed a 4th for their suite. They picked up a friend of a friend who was looking for a place. They all did a meet and greet at the end of freshman year, and she seemed fine. Then fall rolled around, and they all moved in together. Things were cool for about 2 weeks. That's when the new girl let all the chaos out at once. This girl was completely out there, wild eyes and all. She had auditioned for Jersey Shore twice, left dishes everywhere, didn't flush the toilet, and listened to loud music while watching TV and playing something on her computer. Her energy was as chaotic as the mess she left behind. They were stuck with her all year. Needless to say, they cut her loose for junior year, and the original group kind of disbanded. So my wife, then girlfriend, moved into a house off campus with some other friends. Every now and then, the chaos girl would pop back up and try to rekindle things. One night, she talked my wife into going out. I ended up out with some of my friends as well. I kept trying to meet up with them all night, but it turned into the worst game of hide and seek. Every time I was close, we'd miss each other, and the chaotic girl kept stealing my wife's phone, saying it was a girls-only night. I finally caught up to them around 2 a.m. It had been a long night, and no one was in a good headspace. I found my wife waiting outside some random house talking to the people who lived there. Her friend had gone upstairs to hook up with someone. She was the worst. We were both exhausted and decided to head back to my wife's place. By the time we got back, she wasn't feeling well. She wasn't drunk, but it seemed like she might be getting sick. She went to bed in her room upstairs and I crashed on the couch. This wasn't a big house. The main floor was basically a kitchen and living room, with two bedrooms upstairs and another in the basement. Around 8 or 9 a.m., I got up to check on her. I opened her bedroom door and saw her in bed, but also saw the chaos girl curled up next to her. They both looked at me. I was stunned. I asked, "What is going on here?" I had no idea how this girl got into the house. Didn't we lock the front door? How did she even walk past me on the couch? My wife was just as shocked. She had no idea the girl was there. And the final twist? The chaos girl was wearing my wife's clothes. She had snuck in, undressed, and put on one of her t-shirts and a pair of her underwear. Who does that? Who thinks that's okay? Actually, no, the real kicker was when she asked my wife if she could drive her to get groceries. If I never see her again, it'll be too soon. Story 31. Two stories, neither of them mine. First story. My best friend used to live in our college house but moved out after a year. The next year, her friend came to town for the annual bar crawl. Like every year, we all got completely trashed and got separated by the end of the night. Her friend forgot my best friend didn't live in our house anymore, so she walked right in after we were all asleep, opened the door to my friend's old room, where my guy roommate was sleeping, and yelled, "I'm coming in!" My roommate woke up thinking it was a dream. She slid into bed with him, turned butt to butt, and fell asleep. So he just went back to sleep, wondering who had just climbed into bed with him. I woke up later to her knocking on my door, asking for my phone because she realized she had accidentally slept in her friend's old room. Second story, also in college, my house and our friend's house went out bar hopping. We were at bar number 4, and my buddy didn't want to go to the last bar. We convinced him to take one more shot before he left. He took it, then immediately walked out the back door and vanished. We assumed he just went home. We stayed, laughed, had a few more drinks, and called it a night. I woke up the next morning on their couch and heard my buddy saying, "Dude, I woke up in the wrong house." Turns out he had walked back to his old college house. The current students living there thought he was a teammate of theirs from the football team and just let him sleep on the couch. They gave him a blanket, pillow, and water. He woke up with his boots still on and his shirt and pants neatly folded next to him on the floor. He later found his hat and phone halfway between the bar and his old house the next morning. Story 32. Not me, but a former roommate of mine. Years ago, shortly after college, we went to a club together. My roommate picked up a girl, and they both got blackout drunk. I was sober enough to call a cab, and he insisted on bringing her along. Dumbest idea of his life. We got back to the house, and the two of them stumbled off to his room while I passed out in mine. In the morning, I woke up to them shouting at each other because neither remembered how the other had gotten there. Apparently, the girl had been at the club with her boyfriend and was more than a little shocked to wake up in bed with a stranger, both dressed and covered in each other's vomit. We helped her clean up, called a cab, and sent her on her way. Remember how I said bringing her along was the dumbest idea of his life? Yeah, she accused him of something serious 3 days later. Even though I'm fairly certain neither of them was capable of anything physical that night, he was arrested. I had to testify at his trial. He was convicted and got 5 years. That was the last I ever saw of him. I already hated clubbing before that night, and I swore it off for good after. Story 33. Not exactly waking up in bed with a stranger, but definitely a weird situation. A few years ago, I went to a friend's wedding in a tiny English village. My ex and I were booked at the nearest hotel, which was about 5 miles away. Most guests were staying in that town, so a bus had been arranged to bring everyone back. But somehow we missed it and were the only two left at the venue with the locals. We were struggling to get a taxi when the bride's brother, who I'd met maybe twice before, offered to put us up for the night. He had a child who was with his mom that weekend, so he kindly offered to sleep in the kid's room and let us have his double bed. Sounded perfect. I went to bed thinking what a great guy he was and just looked forward to sleep after a long day and a fair amount of drinks. 7 hours later, I woke up alone in a kid's race car bed wearing nothing but my underwear. What the hell? Next to the bed were my clothes neatly folded. Still confused, I got dressed and tiptoed out to the kitchen where my ex and the bride's brother were having breakfast. My ex started laughing as soon as I walked in. Apparently, in the middle of the night, I had sleepwalked into the kid's room, where the bride's brother was sleeping, and tried to climb into bed with him. He asked what I was doing and was about to freak out until he realized I was clearly sleepwalking. He'd heard you're not supposed to wake sleepwalkers, so he just let me have the bed and moved to the couch. Mortifying, but we all had a laugh the next day. It's now a running joke in their family. Every time I attend something, someone asks whose bed I'll be in this time. Story 34. I was in college and had gone over to a buddy's house to play Super Smash Bros. And have some drinks. We stayed up super late, and I got pretty wasted with the guys. This buddy had a very reclusive roommate, someone I'd only ever seen once, dart into the kitchen and then rush back to his room to hide from everyone. Well, I ended up being too drunk to make the long walk home and crashed on the couch using an empty pizza box as a pillow. At dawn, maybe 2 hours later, I woke up to what sounded like voices. I cracked one eye open and saw the reclusive guy sitting cross-legged on the floor, wearing only tighty-whities, having completely cleaned the living room. He had set up a chessboard and was playing against himself. I watched in confusion as he dramatically moved from one side of the board to the other, pausing at each turn to stare at the pieces. He would scoff at the opponent side, crawl to the other side of the table, sit perfectly still and make a move, talking to himself like Gollum from The Lord of the Rings the entire time. It was incredibly weird, but I was too out of it to move. Eventually, after watching him for a while and realizing he wasn't going anywhere, I got up. He froze when he saw me, stared for a long moment, then casually offered me a smoke and a plate of sugar cookies. We ended up hanging out for a few hours playing chess and cards until I was sober enough to walk home. Story 35. Freshman year of college, I lived in a co-ed dorm. One morning, I woke up in bed next to a guy who I could tell was shirtless. I knew I hadn't drunk or done anything the night before, and my roommate was in her bed across the room, so something felt really strange. If I'd looked over and my roommate wasn't there, I probably would have screamed. I was mostly just in shock. I didn't think anything could have happened. I would have woken up and my roommate was right there. I laid there for a while trying to figure out what to do. Eventually, I tapped him on the shoulder and said, "I think you're in the wrong room." He was clearly still drunk and very sleepy, looked around the room and said, "No, this is mine." That's when I realized he was the guy who lived next door. I told him again, "No, this is my room." He rolled out of my bed, hit the floor, and proceeded to fall asleep right there. I told him again, "Excuse me, this isn't your room. You need to leave." He sleepily got up, grabbed his shirt, and left. The next morning, I woke up to a very apologetic email from him. He explained he was extremely drunk the night before, had broken his glasses, and mistook my room for his. He figured my roommate hadn't locked the door when she came home. He also said he was so out of it, he wasn't sure if it had actually happened or if it was even me. He ended the email by asking me to disregard it if it wasn't. Story 36. I haven't really told this story to anyone except a few close friends who just laughed it off. I was at a high school party in the middle of nowhere at a good friend's place. There were a lot of people there, maybe around 200, which was a big deal for the rural area I grew up in. I don't remember much about the night except for the parts where I started drinking. I woke up in a camper parked outside the house, completely undressed. It was daylight and the blinds were wide open. A couple from a nearby town was laying on the couch. I looked over and a girl I went to school with was laying next to me, also undressed. On the ground next to us was a used condom. I tried to quietly get over her and get out, but she woke up. She smiled and said, "Good morning, sunshine. Last night was fun." For some reason, I just knew that if I asked what had happened, I wouldn't get a clear answer. So I played along and said, "Yeah, it was fun," hoping she'd give me more details. She then said, "You're kind of quiet in bed, you know." That's when it hit me. I had lost my virginity while unconscious. I didn't say anything, just got dressed and left. I didn't have the words for it. 6 years later, I still haven't cried about it or fully processed what happened. Life is good now. I've had an amazing girlfriend for a couple of years. I told her the story, and she has truly helped me regain a part of myself I thought was gone forever. I just want to say to the young men out there, it can happen to you too. Up to that point, I thought only women were at risk. Some people I told treated it like a joke, and it spread around school as if I had just lost my virginity. So I played along. But don't do that. Really take time to understand how serious it is when someone violates your body and trust. Go to therapy. Get help. Story 37. For a short time, I had a roommate who paid $100 a month to sleep on the couch. He was a serious alcoholic who drank until blackout every day. He would hit on every girl he saw. It was honestly embarrassing how hard he got rejected every time. But he kept trying, and somehow he always brought someone home. Eventually, he started dating a woman who was basically the female version of him. We lived in Lake Tahoe, and she was a really good snowboarder in a town full of men aged 18 to 25. She would get sloppy drunk and sleep around. He also kept hooking up with other women. Then they'd have explosive drunken arguments over cheating. It was a toxic mess. At one point, she started checking me out and hinting that she was interested in me. But I wanted no part of that. After one of their fights, she came downstairs into my room, stripped, and got into bed with me. I told her she was drunk and had the wrong room. Her boyfriend's room was the couch in the living room. She mumbled something and just stayed there. So I scooted over and fell asleep on the other side of the bed. The next morning, they were arguing again because she had slept in my bed. He asked her if we had hooked up, and she said she couldn't remember. I told him no, we absolutely didn't. Another roommate of ours was stunned that I didn't do anything. He said he would have taken the opportunity, but I don't regret it at all. Story 38. I woke up in bed next to a woman with big, curly red hair. I went downstairs to grab a glass of water and chilled in her living room. I started getting a bit nosy and looked at all the family pictures on the walls. Above the fireplace was a wedding photo of a couple. The woman had the exact same red curly hair. I froze. It was her. That's when panic started to set in. Where was her husband? Was he going to walk in? Was there going to be a fight? I sat there shaking. She came downstairs and I asked her about the photo. She told me her husband was struggling with opiate addiction and they were in the process of getting a divorce. She had personal alarms around the house to alert the police if he came near. We ended up bonding over her struggles and how she was fighting to get her life back. Eventually, I had to leave for work, and she drove me home. I walked up to my house with my boxers stuffed in my back pocket thinking, what a night. We kept in touch, and now, 16 years later, we have three amazing children. Our relationship just keeps getting better every year. It's wild to think that one random night out, messaging my brother's friends to let off some steam, led to meeting the love of my life. Total luck, but the best kind. Story 39. Not a complete stranger, but definitely a peculiar awakening. Back in high school, I studied Russian and went on a class trip to St. Petersburg. We stayed in a hotel with a 24/7 convenience shop in the basement. On our last night there, my friend, who was already 18, bought two bottles of vodka and a bottle of whiskey from the shop. That night, my hotel roommate and I, plus four others, two guys, two girls, partied in our room. One of the guys blacked out early and went back to his room. My roommate got pretty far gone, so we left him alone and went off with the rest of the group to hang out elsewhere. The next thing I remember is waking up at 5 a.m. next to one of the girls. I looked across the room and saw the other guy sleeping on the windowsill. Confused and groggy, I quickly rushed back to my room and chugged as much water as I could to avoid a brutal hangover. Later that morning, after we woke up properly, we looked around our room and realized just how chaotic the night had been. The mini fridge was unplugged. The TV was in the bathtub. Melatonin pills were scattered all over the floor. Bottles were stuffed in the trash. And there were cups filled with green liquid sitting on counters. We just packed up and left. My favorite part? On the bus ride back to Finland, our teacher gave a short speech thanking everyone for being so well behaved. Meanwhile, in the back of the bus, my roommate was throwing up into a plastic bag. What a trip. Also, I sometimes steal harmless stuff when I'm drunk. My favorites include a door handle I once found in my coat pocket and an election sign I apparently carried 3 kilometers home. Story 40. This one's not about me, but my cousin-in-law. And while it didn't happen in a bed, it's close enough. It was my cousin's bachelor party. We rented a party bus and headed downtown to celebrate. By last call, we were completely obliterated. We all got herded back onto the bus and kept drinking during the ride back to the house we had rented. The property was on a poorly lit street, and the driver couldn't tell which house was ours. There was a rock wall and a long 50-yard driveway, so it wasn't exactly easy to spot. We stopped, shuffled off the bus, and started walking up what we thought was our driveway. About halfway up, we realized we were at the wrong house, like 4 houses away from the Airbnb. We scurried back to the right place and crashed in our beds. The next morning, we were all sitting around drinking coffee and laughing about the previous night. Then in a quiet moment, my cousin's brother-in-law casually says, "Yeah, I woke up at 5:30 on someone's couch, and an old lady was screaming at me to get out of her house while she called the cops." Turns out, when the rest of us realized we were at the wrong house and left, he never did. He had wandered inside, undressed, and passed out cold. He didn't hear us leaving. The woman who lived there found him and, understandably, freaked out. He grabbed his clothes, apologized profusely, and ran down the street. Eventually, he spotted his truck parked outside the correct house and made it inside. Thankfully, nothing bad happened. He's genuinely one of the nicest people ever and had no idea what he was doing. Now, it's one of those stories we tell at family get-togethers and laugh until we cry.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one-coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.